Me ready to begin.
I
I
pledge
pledge allegiance
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, under God, indivisible, with liberty and
General Toy, you're allowed to salute, you know, you don't have to. Okay, roll call. Present.
Yes. Here.
Here.
Here. Here.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I can't hear my name and I can't hear. I apologize.
Director Amesqua?
Yes,
On?
I am.
Okay. Anybody else we missed? Can you see we've missed anybody? Letitia? Okay. All right. Do I introduce or do you introduce?
Executive Director of the National Water Research Institute, of which NWRI, of which OCWD is a member. In fact, NWRI is located here on campus. And Kevin Hardy, the Executive Director, is going to give a little bit of an update to the board this evening on the current NWRI activities. Kevin.
Madam Chair, staff, thanks for having creating this opportunity for us to come tell you a little bit about what we're doing and give you this research update. And as an old GM myself, I know how much it hurts Mike to give me 20 or 30 minutes up here this morning. This afternoon. So got in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I gave him 12 minutes.
So I want to spend a few minutes
Start
to
the timer,
provide a
please, Mayor.
provide I want to spend a few minutes to give you a quick institutional overview. Then we'll spend a few minutes talking about the ways that we kind of help frame the research agenda in the water resource world. We'll talk about the Clark Prize, our fellowships, our independent advisory practice, which has really grown in its footprint around the United States. We'll talk about some exciting developments just this last week in the world of DPR criteria development here in California. And then if there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer them for you. As some of you know, NWRI was founded in 1999 by a group of forward-thinking utilities here in Southern California, along with some community leaders. The idea was to bring together the right players and to collaboratively build a water research platform that could develop communities in a way that without recycled water, they couldn't develop. And this is critical for Orange County. Ultimately, and today, the Joint Powers Agency, which is the main part of NWRI, has six member agencies. You see them listed there. It's OCWD, the Orange County Sanitation District, the Inland Empire Utilities Agency, the Irvine Ranch Water District, the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, and the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California, who we added as a member in 2022. The Joint Powers Agency is governed by a board of directors. Director Green is our vice chair and will, according to our board policy, if we stick with that in 2025, move up to become the chair of the board. And Director Yeo now is an alternate to our board. I appreciate the support those directors give us each and every month. We also have a 501c3. That 501c is a nonprofit entity that allows us to provide nonprofit services both within our community practice, providing the Clark Prize and these fellowships, but it also helps member agencies if they've got community events where donations are needed. We provide services to collect those funds and make sure that those funds that are donated have a charitable purpose and are therefore tax deductible. Oh, I should go back on that before I leave. On your right is the staff. You see, a thorn among four roses. But to your far left is Tiana Manzone. Tiana is our research project coordinator. To her left is Julie Absher. She's our project controller. On the other side of me is Mary Collins. She's our technical editor. And Suzanne Sharkey is our project manager. This group has done a tremendous job. And Tiana's just joined us recently. So we're growing. And if the water reuse continues the way it's going right now, we're going to be growing some more. Let's talk about the first way we help shape the research agenda in the water reuse world, and that's through our research fellowships. These are available to students who are at an advanced level, so master's, doctoral students, even some postdoctoral students as well. And we want to make sure as we partner with different entities to provide these fellowships, that the research that they're doing is of substantial interest to the NWRI and to our member agencies and our partners. So here are our five academic fellows for 23-24. Alma Bartholomew is at UC Berkeley, and she's working on a project that's going to allow her, that she wants to produce water that will eliminate the opportunity for opportunistic pathogens to resurface in the pipeline. So she wants to create a biologically stable product water with her research. So she's working on that, and we funded her research there at Berkeley. Emma Payne, another fellow from Boulder, where her advisor is Carl Linden, one of the Clark Prize laureates. She's looking at UV and AOP as a process to reduce fouling in RO membranes. So upstream of RO, reduce the fouling in the ROs and increase their efficiency and uptime. Karen has a similar idea with repurposing and getting higher efficiency out of RO membranes. Aaron is working on replacement, looking at rather low molecular weight PFOA compounds, trying to figure out if those are treated as well through RO, as we know the longer chain PFOAs are. And Jishan is working on high pressure membranes that achieve super high energy efficiency and near what they would just call minimum liquid discharge, not zero. This group is an amazing group of people. Hopefully, we'll talk about the Clark Prize in a second. We'll have some of their work there on display, and they'll all be there as well. 30th Annual Clark Prize is coming up. It's October 21st here in Irvine. The purpose of the Clark Prize, again, is we try to, again, shape what the water reuse research agenda looks like in a way that makes sense for us here in Southern California, is intended to recognize demonstrated excellence in water science and technology. This year's award winner is Charles Driscoll from Syracuse. Charles is not really well known here in Southern California, but we all know him. He's the guy who promoted and made us really aware of acid rain back in the 80s, and he's continued his research on through the remainder of his career. Charlie's an incredible guy. He'll give the Clark Prize lecture on the 21st, and we're also going to get together with the laureates and a bunch of other interested parties and talk about the future of the Clark Prize on the 20th. We'll do that at the Costa Mesa Marriott, after a nice tour of the new Irvine Museum at the University of California, where the laureates and the other tourists will get to look at some of the en plein air art in the Irvine collection. But the most important thing here is that we'll be talking about how we ensure that the next generation of Clark Prize laureates are funded. I'd like to stay a few minutes on this slide, but I'm not going to, because that we'd get lost. What this slide, and it's actually out of date now. Last time when we talked, wondered aloud how national NWRI and its footprint was, and what's happening is over the last 2 years we've seen our footprint grow fairly significantly. Just this last week we've added a blue state in the state of Oklahoma, so you can put that one over southern Oklahoma there. But we're working now in 13 different states. We've got quite a platform. We're working on everything from water reuse to artificial intelligence. We've got grant work going finally, and we're actually involved in a new effort that's reflected here on this, that will work towards developing technology-based validation standards for potable reuse technologies. The bane of every project promoter is not knowing how they're going to be treated when they get to the point of validating the technology that they've invested millions and millions of dollars in for their community to have a reliable water resource. So the idea that we can come up with technology-based validation standards gives everybody a lot more certainty in how we move forward. So we've got a nationwide footprint, and I don't see this slowing down right now. We had phone calls today, another phone call in Colorado where they've got significant issues. We've got pending work perhaps in Louisiana and Arkansas. This idea of communities using water reuse as a climate change adaptation and resilience strategy is real. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it across the United States where multi-benefit projects are being built. Got to close it down then. And this is kind of the takeaway. I think, you know, if you think about how long I started in 2017, so if we just kind of arrayed the dots from top to bottom, I didn't even get here until the third dot here, or the third bullet, about 2017. And that's when the goal for having California direct potable reuse regulations was set. But this has been going on since well before then. So this has been a long-term effort by you and other agencies that have been interested in these kinds of regulations. And The work that we've been doing over the last 3 years has now concluded. As you're probably aware, the final proposed regs were issued on July 22nd. That started a 45-day comment period. There's going to be a public hearing tomorrow, not before 10:30. I'm not sure they've set the time yet, but that public comment period will end on the 8th. And I mention this mostly to kind of set the stage for what the expert panel did, so you have some awareness, because it's only happened the last few days, is that the panel has thought that they wanted to answer the question that was presented statutorily, which is the proposed regulation in whole protective of public health. And they found that, in fact, it is. However, they wanted to make a public comment that they were and admonish DDW for not using the most common or the most recent science in a couple of different specific cases. So they pointed that out in a comment letter that they provided as a public comment as a board. That did not come from NWRI, but it came from the expert panel, the two chairs. So as we worked through that process, it was a little sensitive, as you might imagine, with the regulators, but we worked, Jason helped us with a little bit of strategy. We worked with the co-chairs and we worked with DDW to explain where folks' thinking and their thoughts, where the panel's head was at. We came to this approach, which was to submit the memorandum as required by the statute and to do the public comment together as a group. And we received comments back from DDW last week and then again today that they're very pleased with the outcome of the process. And so I'm pleased to report that our process is done unless there's some sort of substantial change in any further operation of the administrative procedure to approve the regulation. So in the case of a substantial change, there may be more work, but I don't expect there will with that. My report is concluded, and I, again, thank you for your support. I think the next time I'll see you is in September, when I'll be here to talk about, or sometime thereafter, when I'm here to talk about my employment contract. But in the meantime, I'm available to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions? Okay. Go ahead, Director O.
Thanks, Kevin. Thank you for the presentation. We're involved, NWRI is involved with both the Metropolitan Southern California Pure Water Project and also the LA Department of Water and Power NEXT project, which is both, you know, potable reuse. I think that's great that we can help them and you know, the way that they need to help along the way, very important projects. I saw that your next to last screen was a reference to a hearing tomorrow for DPR. Could you share what that, you know, contact information is, yeah, where it is? So I'd like to tune in.
Do you want to view the public hearing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can share that website. There's a website link that I'd be glad to share with you here. And just if you, I just need to sit down and get on my phone, I can share it with you.
Okay. Thank you. That's all the questions I had.
Any other questions? Do we have anybody? Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Okay. Do we have any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Okay. Do we have anyone who would like to speak? We'll listen. No one? How about online? Any hands raised? Okay. All right. Moving on to the consent calendar.
Well, I have a request to just make a comment on item number 5.
Okay.
I'll move the rest of the consent calendar. Otherwise, I noticed that this.
I'll second that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Here, item number 5.
Let's vote.
Okay.
For all but 5.
Cool.
Can you read the?
Roll call?
Roll call.
Roll call.
Hold on 1 second, Ronnie. Hold on 1 second.
Okay. Roll call, Director Mezqua?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Nguyen? Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Tran? Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo? That motion carries with 8 yes votes, with Director Nguyen and Tran absent.
Okay, moving on to item 5, the California Department of Transportation property at Burris Basin and SMM Gulf, the islands.
Yes. Yes, thank you. A comment I wanted to make is in reviewing the packet, I noticed that it's included with our new lease agreement with Caltrans, the stormwater pollution prevention points that they have in the back. I know Caltrans is is very concerned about that. And I want to make sure that our lease sublessee is going to be aware of these requirements through our lease with Caltrans so that we're in compliance and they're in compliance so that people will be happy. You have a yes, you're going to.
Yes, we'll make sure that takes place.
I just don't want it to fall through the cracks. And I think it's good policy that Caltrans has for minimizing stormwater pollution. Thank you. I'll move the item.
Do I have a second? I have a motion and a second. Oh, yes. Director Sheldon.
Thank you, Madam President. Question for staff. What portion of the 1.3 acres does the tenant utilize?
I believe Mr. Dozier is online. Bruce? Oh, you're... I thought you were virtual. Oh, he popped through the screen.
Director Sheldon, could you repeat the question, please?
Portion of the 1.3 acres does the tenant utilize?
I would say I'm just going to give you a guesstimate, about 1 acre of that, most of it.
What is it? It's the back end of their driving range, isn't it? Adjacent to the on-ramp to the 57?
I'm visualizing it. It is mostly where the sidewalk is. It actually goes into the basin. The Caltrans land goes into the basin. So it encompasses the sidewalk, the driving stations, okay, and some of the ornamental areas as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
No, thank you.
Okay. We have a motion and a second.
Roll call, Director Amezcua?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Motion carries with 8 yes votes, with Directors Nguyen and Tran absent.
Okay. Moving on to the state bond update and discussion.
Thank you, Madam President. And I think I'll have Jason Gonzalez explain what's gone on this past week, because I believe none of the four bonds are moving forward. They're all going to become two-year bills. And as a result, there really is no need for the board to take any action this evening. But I'll let Jason validate what I said as being correct.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Madam President. Jason Eichert here. I will do my best impression of Jason Gonzalez, but probably fall woefully short. You're completely correct, Mike, and I think we can make this an expeditious conversation and presentation for you all. We have been discussing these four bonds, two climate resource and water bonds, and two flood control bonds, on and off throughout the year with all of you. And we appreciate those discussions. As Mike just said, and as we've speculated previously, the legislature and the governor did not ultimately come to agreement on a bond this year. And it was made official late last week to postpone discussions into next year and to not move any of the climate resource, water, or flood bonds. And really not to move any potential bonds, including education and housing bonds, in 2023. And the reason largely it's believed that that's because the intent is to have the March primary ballot, cleared for the governor's mental health bond. So as Mike said, what that means is that for the time being, negotiations will hit a pause as the legislature wraps up its last week and a half of session, and then continue when they return next year. They will have until about mid next year, probably late June. It depends really on when the Secretary of State says the latest point that the legislature could give them a bond to put on the ballot is. But historically, late June, they'll have until then to negotiate what would go into that bond. In the meantime, our firms and your staff have been working to put some items on the table for Orange County Water District, which I think are noted in the next slide, which is $500 million and funding for PFAS contamination, which the request would be, you know, for retroactive funding in light of the fact that Orange County Water District has been a leader in the state and pioneering getting ahead of contamination and finding ways to address it. And that would include $150 million specifically for Orange County Water District. Simply, you could argue that it would basically be a reasonable share of cost on the part of state. And then lastly, funding for the Sunset Gap Barrier Project, as you see here, $75 million. And so we have conveyed those requests to the authors and have also raised them with Orange County Water District's legislative delegation. And we will, you know, continue to do so. We to some extent expected this outcome throughout the year. It's not surprising that the legislature and governor would want to take a little bit more time on these bonds. What it means is that we have, you know, a continued opportunity to work this through the fall and beginning of next year and try and push for your priorities. And as we've discussed, you know, previously, the expectation would be that, you know, were we successful in achieving getting these asks included into a bond, the expectation would be that OCWD would support it once that happened. But that is sort of our general update on where things stand. We're very happy to answer any questions or discuss where we are.
Any questions? Okay. In light of the fact that it will be a two-year bill, can we suspend reports for now from the bond until they're resurrected again?
Certainly.
Does that make sense to everybody?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Nothing to do until it happens again.
Yeah, we don't need a vote on that.
We have a comment, Madam President.
That direction. Okay, yes. Go ahead.
Do we know when they're going to reconvene conversations on the potential bonds?
Yeah, so it's possible that there will be some discussions through the fall, but that we would expect those to be largely informal. We think that the discussions will begin in earnest again at the beginning of next year when the legislature reconvenes. However, you know, Orange County Water District and others who are interested in these bonds and interested in securing pots of funding in the bonds are well served by doing their work over the fall recess as well and trying to secure their support of their legislative delegations.
In your conversations with legislators, was there sentiment that the money in Proposition 1 had not been spent and that would affect approval of additional bonds?
Honestly, that has not come up.
Interesting. So it wasn't important to the legislators that they haven't spent the money that they have allocated so far.
Well, our focus has largely been on the district's priorities for spending. And so, you know, whether they are concerned or not, and it's a very reasonable question you're raising, Director Sheldon, that has not been a main feature of our discussion and lobbying.
I didn't necessarily mean on our behalf. I meant just in your travels through the halls of the Capitol.
It certainly is part of the discussion. There are those in Sacramento who at a general level are obviously, you know, frustrated or concerned that there is funding that has not been spent.
Did that, besides the governor's mental health initiative or measure on the ballot in March, did that sentiment affect the delay of these measures?
I don't believe that would be the primary reason. No, I do think that it largely came down to a desire to make sure that you know the field was clear for the legislature and the governor's priorities for the March ballot.
When would you suggest that we present our board's desires on this item?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? I apologize. Some of the audio comes in and out.
When would you suggest that we present through you to the legislature our proposal?
I believe, and my colleagues believe as well, that we should continue to work on this through the fall. I think that it would be important to secure as large of a coalition of your producers and others who are supportive of these asks and continue to lobby on it throughout the fall. But again, where we really have to be ready is to hit the ground running early next year.
A couple more questions, I'll be done. I've known past so-called water bonds, there's been money, say $50 million for this conservation group and $75 million for this entity or this open space entity or what have you. Was that going on in this bond measure as well, where different NGOs were getting sort of earmark in the bond?
Yeah. Yes. So the conservancies generally do, and we expect that to be a part of these bonds as well.
And then they normally contribute to the campaign once that gets rolling.
Fortunately, once things move out of the legislature, I don't have to deal with that side of things, but that makes sense, Director Sheldon.
Is there any concern over the pay to play or pay to get your project through? Has that ever come up?
I think that's a matter for what would be reported in the media. And I mean, it certainly hasn't been an issue in Sacramento. And I think that technically it would not be considered a pay to play, although I'm not an attorney. It's a matter of supporting funding that was advocated for in the legislature in a bond that's been put on the ballot.
Okay.
But again, I'm not an attorney, so don't take that as kind of legal.
I didn't mean anything of any, I necessarily wasn't implying illegality, just certainly. If you want to get $50 million for your project, then you have to step up and contribute to the campaign. So that's all. But thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Any other questions, comments? Okay. All right. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
All right. Moving on to committee conference meeting reports, retirement.
Well, it's director. Included in the packet.
Okay, property.
It's also included in the packet. Thank you.
All right. Verbal reports. I do not have one tonight. General manager.
I have a.
Wait a minute. You have a conference?
Yeah, conference I went to last week, the California Special District Association, while I was there, along with Rob Thompson from the OC Sand District, to receive their large award for a large district, an innovation project of the year for the final expansion of G2RS. And I think it's, I made a comment that this started 50 years ago with Water Factor 21, the Sand District and OCWD working together in that. And we're tied at the hip forever in trying to use the sewer water from Orange County to produce the water that we need to. While there at the conference, I attended a seminar which related to website accessibility, and I got a checklist that I think is useful for us and our staff to consider in making sure that our website is accessible to the public. There's more chances of people, there's like 20% of the public have no access to website, and we need to be certain that we are at least being accommodating to the extent that we can. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Moving on to verbal reports, General Manager.
I'd just like to report that we did host the grand jury, the current grand jury. I believe that was yesterday.
Yesterday. And,
President Green attended. Director Rowe was there as well. Very interesting. We spent 4 hours with them, and we gave them a little bit of briefing. We gave them a tour of the facility and answered a lot of questions that they had. They had received a tour the week before from MODOC and were bussed around to the Deamer facility, Metz Deamer facility, and a South County reservoir, El Toro, and down the Doheny project. And it was very interesting, their perspective of what they gained then, what they gained with our briefing, and it wasn't very straightforward to them exactly what the roles and responsibilities were of the different agencies. So I would say it was very worthwhile, and that it was in the end, it was very well received.
I concur. They had so many questions. I didn't think we were ever going to finish.
That ends my report.
Okay. Directors? Director Rowe?
Oh, I don't have
Director Sheldon?
Thank you, Madam President. Under my report, I would like to just talk with the board about an item that is before the, I believe it's the State Water Board. And Mike, you could correct me if I'm wrong, regarding the indoor water usage per person. That's what the before, and there's, it's a comment period right now. And I'm really bothered by this government control of Californians. And I just think it's, is that this bill came into being, I believe we were opposed to the Freedman bill, and that it's, does not have a justification for this type of harsh government control on how much water is used, particularly in light of the failure of the state in many ways to act responsible in producing water. And they've not constructed the reservoirs and dams and the water supply that we've needed to keep up with the population. And, you know, when you just look at the effect of this has on, you know, many people in the state, for me, you know, maybe I'll have to pay a little more or what have you, or those that are not able to, those that have young children that use cloth diapers and have to wash them and that have to wash their hands and have to wash the dishes and do this and all these. It's just so wrong to put all these controls on those that are perhaps less fortunate and just the public in general, particularly when it's not necessary. So I would like to bring back to the board a resolution opposing these standards. And I would also like to bring back to the board a section of the California Constitution that requires the state to act reasonably and in the best interest of the public and the public welfare in providing a water supply. And I'll provide that to our general counsel. And so that we can take a look at those two items to see if our state is really doing that. Because I think we have to step up and really face the music as to what's happening. Because I see more and more controls that aren't related to water. And I remember when we had the representatives from the Department of the State Water Board at our water summit a couple of years ago. And we were talking about these numbers of indoor household use. And they made a comment like, it's going to go down further and further in the coming years, which told me, you know, have they done any studies to justify that? No, I didn't think they did. They just feel that we need that everyone else needs to use less water and not for any, you know, reason that we have a need for it. And it's part of our life. And we should be able to have it be available and I think abundant. So I don't believe this was done in a reasonable way. It was thought out years before to do for some other reason. So we've got to really look at the water supply. That's our responsibility. I know we're groundwater, we're not retail, but I think our constituents look to us to help solve these problems and provide leadership to the state. So that's part of why I'm suggesting these things. So I will be, hopefully anyone wants to join me in having this discussion,
I'll second that.
That'd be great. So we'll work with the staff to bring that back. Thank you.
I think the regulators are getting over-regulating.
Director Whitaker.
Yes, we did have a SAPA commission meeting yesterday morning, and I have a very brief report on that. It was our first meeting in about 7 weeks, but it wasn't a real aggressive agenda. And we, the commission voted unanimously to contract with CWE an amount of $93,711 for consulting services of the Surface Water Quality Monitoring, the Basin Monitoring Group, which is a subcommittee with SAPA. The other item was an update on the Headwaters Arundo removal update. And the commission actually requested some better measurements in terms of progress or reduction, eradication of Arundo. But the focus is mostly in the upper watershed right now because the rhizomes will, with water flows, carry downstream and create new growth in those areas. So the eradication effort is focusing up there, but the amount of acreage and the amount that we've been able to deal with, I think we wanted more information in terms of some metric where we're going to be able to measure the accomplishments on that. And that was it. It was primarily those two items. Thank you, Madam President.
Okay. General Counsel?
Thank you, Madam President. We have two closed sessions.
Okay, we are recessed.
Hey, we're returning from closed session to discuss two items under Government Code 54956.9A. There are no reportable items.
We are adjourned at 7:29.
Good night.